If you have your Bibles, join me in turning this time to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Again, the passage for this evening is printed on the flip side of your order of service. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 16, but only going to be addressing verses 9 through 16. Holy hush. If you'll follow as I read, beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. Excuse me. I will not forget your word. Would you bow with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Our Father, we are grateful for the opportunity once again to look to you through your word. Father, once again, we thank you for your many gifts. First and foremost, for the gift of yourself in and through the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your word that reveals Christ to us. We thank you, Father, for the fact that you are a God who speaks. And Lord, tonight as we consider once again how you speak to us through your word and the blessing of giving ourselves to your word, Lord, we pray that you will use this time. Father, we pray that your Spirit would be our teacher and that he would challenge us, convict us, encourage us, enable us, Lord, to, as we read earlier, be doers and not merely hearers of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a question for you tonight. Got any sinners here? Well, and I know that naturally you're a sinner, but anybody who is still sinning, anybody who still sins. Got anybody like that tonight? Yeah, me too. So what do we do? How can we not sin? Well, we will never get to the place in this life where we don't sin at all. However, you do know that it is God's intent that we not sin. You do know that it is God's will that we not sin. Not only that, God has given us some help, hasn't he? Did you notice those verses 9 and 11 of Psalm 119? How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not what? Sin against you. Now, even if we have all of God's word stored up, even if we have all of God's word memorized and we meditate on it 24 hours a day, that's not going to prevent us from sinning. However, there is a connection between how we deal with Scripture and our ability to live lives of holiness. our ability to live lives of obedience to the Lord. And that's what I want us to address. That's what I want to address. This is really, in some respects, a kind of a follow-up to what Pastor Greg addressed last Sunday evening in his devotional meditation. But it's also connected to my sermon from this morning, as well as the sermons I intend to preach, Lord willing, the next couple of weeks. And that is the matter of using Scripture to battle sin. That's what I want us to look at. How do we use God's Word to battle sin? That's very much what the psalmist is addressing here in Psalm 119 throughout, but especially in verses 9 through 16. You know that the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, when he talks about the fact that we are engaged in a warfare, a battle, not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. When he talks about the fact that our lives are spent in spiritual warfare, he gives us armor to put on, the armor of the Lord. You're familiar with that, the armor of God. The one offensive weapon that he mentions is what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We are to do battle against the enemy of our souls, against temptation, against sin, by using not only, but largely, the Word of God. So, how can it help us? How can God's Word help us to do battle against sin? Well, I think we can find some help as if we focus on the verbs, the action words here in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at some action words, some verbs here. First of all, let's start with what our goal is. And that is, in verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. First verb is the word guard, or guarding. We're to guard our way. We are to guard our lives by the Word of God. The Word of God acts in many senses as a sentry, helping to protect us, to guard against the enemy, against temptation, and against falling into sin. You know how that works. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, while he was there, he was hungry. He'd been there as he was about to begin his earthly ministry. The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And what did he use? We're not going to turn there. You know this. What did he use to guard himself against the evil one's temptations? He used Scripture again and again and again. The Word of God guards us against the evil one. But the second verb we see is the word seek. Seek. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander. There's another verb. Let me not wander from your commandments. Do you see the connection between seeking the Lord and not wandering from his commandments? We seek the Lord by seeking His Word. We seek the Lord, we look for God, not in the expanse. Now, certainly, we see God's handiwork. We see the result of God's working everywhere. But we seek Him in His Word. We seek Him in Scripture. This means that we should never view reading the Bible as merely an intellectual or academic exercise. I addressed this slightly not long ago when I talked about the fact that as important as it is to read through the Bible, say in a year or 2 years or whatever, if the goal is merely to get through the Bible, that's not the goal. That's the wrong goal. The goal is to meet God. The goal is to see the Lord, to seek Him in His Word. So if that means you only get through a book of the Bible in a year, that's much better than reading the whole thing and not seeing God, not meeting the Lord in His Word. It's never to be merely an intellectual or academic exercise, whether we're reading Scripture, studying Scripture, memorizing, or even teaching. It should not just be something it involves the mind, but it should never stop with our minds. The Bible is first and foremost about God. And our priority in approaching the Bible should always be to meet God, to know Him better. That will change the way you approach the Word. It will change your attitude as you go to the Word. Hopefully, it will change your eagerness to be in the Word. If you understand it, it's not a duty. You know, it's not just a habit, not just a discipline even, although it is. But not like, you know, a dose a day keeps the devil away. Not that kind of thing. But meeting God in His Word. Seek the Lord in His Word. Third verb is in verse 11. And it says, I have stored up your word in my heart. Now, some translations say, your word have I hidden in my heart. Now that can be okay as long as you understand what that means. The sense is not, you know, I've hidden God's word so nobody will find it, you know. That's not the sense here. It's not the sense of hiding it to protect it from someone. We store it up so that we have it when we need it. We are to store God's Word so that it's ready when it's needed. It's, in a sense, it's similar to the way our bodies were designed to store energy. At least some energy. You know what stored energy is, right? It's fat. Fat is not an evil thing in moderation. All right? Our bodies need fat because our bodies were designed to use fat as fuel. Unfortunately, that's not how most of our bodies operate today. They never get to use the fat for fuel because they're using sugar for fuel. That's another matter. That's another subject. The point is this, that just as energy is stored in our bodies to be used when it's needed, because there are times when we need that energy, just as that's so we are to store up God's Word in our hearts so that it's available when it's needed. Let me give you a personal illustration of how that has worked for me. Several years ago, when I was a young adult, I had an anger problem. I had a quick temper. And I really wanted to get a handle on that. And someone suggested memorizing and meditating on Scripture. Appropriate Scripture. So I began memorizing Scripture. Someone gave me a list that I could work on, and I did. I memorized and I meditated on it. And it was amazing how at the appropriate time when I was in a situation where before I would have gotten irritated and would have quickly lost my temper, the Lord would bring those verses to mind and would remind me why I learned those. And I was enabled to hold my temper. I was enabled to be patient when I otherwise would not have been. So I have experienced this matter of storing up God's word so that in those times when I was tempted to sin, I did not. Now, I wish I could say that it's worked that way in every situation. That's not the case. But that's an illustration, an example of what God's word can do for us when we store it up. It's there to fuel our right choices, to help us to resist temptation and to live obediently to the Lord. How do we store up God's word? Well, by reading it repeatedly, by studying it, by memorizing it, by meditating on it. The more we are in the Word consciously, intentionally, the more we're storing it up. The more you hear a song, whether it's on the radio or on your iPod or on your record player, if you're under 30, I'll explain. Afterwards, I'll let you know what that is. The more you listen to a song, the more it gets stored up in your mind, in your memory. And sometimes you can't get it out. It's there and it's driving you crazy. But that's how repetition, intentionally, especially with God's word, we need to read it. We need to hear it. We need to study. We need to be in it. There are no shortcuts. You don't get it by osmosis. Honestly, you can't, you know, put a Bible under your pillow and in the morning, you know, you've got it. It doesn't work that way. It has to be conscious. It has to be intentional. Thy word, or your word, I have stored up in my heart that I might not sin against you. The next verb is the verb teach. Teach. This is one of only two places in this section where the verb does not have the psalmist as the one doing the action. Who is the one who is the actor here? Teach me your statutes. It's God. This is a prayer. This is a prayer to the Lord to teach us His statutes. This reminds us of a number of things. But first of all, it reminds us that while we are to store up God's Word in our hearts, only God the Holy Spirit can enable us to understand the truth of God's Word. He's the one who inspired it. He's the one who enlightens our minds. He's the one who gives us understanding in His Word. So we should lean on Him, rely on Him, pray to Him, depend on Him, look to Him to teach us. It's always a good thing before beginning to read or study God's Word, ask the Lord, Lord, show me your truth. Reveal it to me. Help me to understand this. And then when we're finished reading, meditating, studying, whatever, ask the Lord to help us to remember it and to apply it. God the Holy Spirit must be at work to teach us His Word. The fifth word is declare. Declare, verse 13. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. Do you see the connection between, Lord, teach me your statutes, and with my lips I declare all the rules of your truth? There is the relationship between what we are taught and what we are to do with what we are taught. We're not taught just so that we can know. We're taught so that we can be changed, but also so that we can teach others, so that we can tell others. We are to be declaring with our lips all the rules of the Lord's mouth. We are to be telling others what the Lord is teaching us. There are many tremendous benefits to telling or teaching others, but I want to mention two that are specifically related to this. First of all, when you know that you have to tell or teach, whether we're talking about an informal setting or a formal setting, when you know that you're going to communicate truth to others, what do? You prepare, right? I mean, if you have any sense, you prepare for that. And what happens when you're preparing to tell somebody, whether we're talking about witnessing to a friend or a neighbor, or having a conversation with a coworker about something related to the gospel, or where you're going to be teaching a class. Maybe it's even a group of preschoolers, or maybe it's a group of adults, whatever. You should prepare. And what happens when you prepare? You learn. You learn more by teaching or in the preparing for the teaching than those that you're going to be teaching, right? Hopefully you're going to know more about it than they do. Hopefully I know more about Psalm 19 than you do, because I studied it. Not just this last week, I've studied it many, many times. Why? Because I was going to teach it. I was going to preach it. So I hope that, at least in part, I have a better understanding of certain aspects of it than you do. I'm certain that I've spent a lot more time with it anyway. That's a benefit of telling others. Whether you're telling them one-on-one in an informal situation or telling a group, teaching God's Word, you're learning in the preparing. But then there's another benefit, because what happens almost always when you talk to somebody about spiritual things? They have questions, right? Or maybe they have objections. It's not just a one-way information dump, right? It's a conversation. It's an interaction. And there are almost always questions or thoughts or insights. And a lot of times you learn, but also you don't know everything. And it forces you to go back and learn. Study some more. When we tell others, they have questions or they have objections, forces us to study more so we can answer their questions and we learn more. Don't be afraid of not having all the answers. You'll never have all the answers. That's okay. You don't have to have all the answers. It's okay to say, you know what, I'm not sure. I'll find out. One of the things that I remember from my year that I spent at the United States Naval Academy is that there were certain responses. We were allowed 5 responses when we were ever asked or told anything. We were never allowed to say, I don't know. But we were allowed to say, I'll find out. Now, it's fine, I think, to say, I don't know. But it's better to say, I don't know, I'll find out. Don't be afraid to do that. You'll learn. You'll grow. You will benefit from doing that. Don't avoid putting yourself in a situation where you're not going to talk because you don't know everything. And you're afraid that you're going to be shown up for not knowing, not having the right answer. Just say, you know, I'm not sure about it. That's a good question. I'll find out. Declare. When we declare, when we tell, when we teach, we learn. When we don't know, we go back and we learn some more. The sixth word, the sixth verb is delight. It's repeated. Verse 14 and verse 16. Verse 14, in the way of your testimonies, I delight. as much as in all riches. 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Does that 14th verse remind you of anything? In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Is that reminiscent of anything? Psalm 19:10, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Now some of you are thinking, I think I've heard that before, I just can't remember where or when. How do we delight in Scripture? What do we do if we don't delight in it? Frankly, some of you don't delight in God's Word. It's not a delight to you. Given the choice between watching the Buckeyes game or spending time in God's Word, it's not even an option. It's not even difficult for you. There's no way you're going to spend that time in God's Word. I'm not saying you should not watch a Buckeyes game and spend that time in Scripture. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you were given the choice, it wouldn't be a choice. Why? Because you don't delight in God's Word. And I'm not sure I delight in God's Word as I should. Do I desire God's Word more than money? More than, is it tastier to me than honey? The drippings of the honeycomb? That's a challenge. So how do we delight in God's Word? Well, let me give just a couple of suggestions. This is by no means exhaustive, but a couple things that I think help. First of all, look through Scripture. Get a concordance. Look up delight in Scripture, or the word delight, and find out where in Scripture you'll find things about delighting in God's Word and what the benefits are, what the blessings are. Or look up all of the promises of God, all the blessings that He promises in His Word. I'll give you one to start with, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What a blessing. Whatever he does will prosper. Why? Because he delights in the law of the Lord and he meditates in it day and night. And Scripture is filled with passages like that, that connect delighting in God's Word with incredible blessings. Find them. And maybe it'll help to delight in God's Word. But another thing, and that is this, if you will begin to or continue to use God's Word to fight sin, if you'll study it, if you'll read it repeatedly, memorize it, meditate on it so that it's available to you, you've stored it up in your heart, and then when temptation comes and you're able to say no because God empowers you through His Word, whenever you're able to say yes to the Lord in some area of obedience that previously you couldn't, you'll begin to delight in God's Word. When you experience the power of God's Word enabling you to say no to sin and yes to obedience to the Lord, it'll fuel your delight in the Lord and in His Word. The last word is the word that Pastor Greg focused on last week, and that is meditate. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Pastor Greg did an excellent job describing meditation last week. I'm not going to try to improve on that. I couldn't. But I do want to point out here how it seems that meditating on and fixing our eyes on Scripture are parallel, if not synonymous. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. There are two ways we can take that. We can take that literally. We can take it figuratively. Literally, how do you fix your eyes on Scripture? Again, by reading it repeatedly, by studying it, by looking at it, by going over every word, every phrase, as Pastor Greg talked about last Sunday night. Fixing your eyes on Scripture is a way to meditate on it. But not just literally, also figuratively. Because there are times when you don't have the Bible before you, but if you have it in your heart, you can fix your eyes on it. You can go over it in your mind. You can think about it. You can, again, meditate on it. As we keep Scripture before our eyes, the Lord uses it to renew our minds and transform our lives. What does the Apostle Paul write in Romans 12, 2? Do not be conformed to this world. How? How do we not be conformed? That is, how do we battle temptation of this world and the allure of this world? How do we battle the God of this world? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? The Word of God. Meditating. Fixing your eyes on the Word of God, Scripture. So these are just some thoughts, hopefully some helps, just by going through and looking at these action words, these verbs. The Lord Himself tells us some things about how we can use Scripture to battle sin. So when should we begin? When should I begin? Well, you know, the psalmist says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Those of you who are still young, men and women, it's a good time. This is a good time to start. It's the best time to start, right? When you're young. I was so thrilled to hear that this year we have the largest group of children and youth participating in Bible drill that we've had in years. That is so exciting. Why? Because it's best to start hiding God's Word in your heart when you're young. That's the time to do it. And if your children can't participate in Bible drill, help them get God's Word stored up in their hearts some other way. Have some way to do it, because it is best to begin when they're young. Of all the things that they're going to participate in, of all the things that they're going to give themselves to, give time to, nothing will benefit them like their time in the Word of God. I didn't start memorizing when I was a teenager or younger. We didn't start going to church regularly till I was a teenager. I've shared that before. And I always thought it was kind of prideful, you know, kind of to memorize Scripture. You know, I thought, well, you know, that's for people who want to show off. I didn't understand the value. No one explained to me. Nobody told me, you know, might be helped. That temper of yours might be helped a little bit. Those habits that you have that aren't so good, you might get some help there if you would memorize and have God's word stored up in your heart so that you have it as fuel to fight temptation. But when I was in college, someone explained to me the benefits of that. So I began doing it. And over a several-year period, I was, by God's grace, enabled to memorize chunks of Scripture. And almost all the Scripture that I know, I memorized in my 20s. Now, I've memorized some since, but nothing near like I did during that time. Why does the Scripture say to do it when you're young? Because it's easier and it sticks, right? Now, that does not mean that you can't start because you're no longer young, all right? Whatever your definition of young or not young is, doesn't mean it won't do you any good. Will it perhaps take a little more time? Probably. Will it be a little more challenging? Possibly. It certainly is for me. But will it still be beneficial? Will it still help? Is there still power in it? Will God still use it in your life? Absolutely. When is the best time to plant an oak tree? 25 years ago. When's the next best time? Today. You can't plant that oak tree 25 years ago. Can't go back, but you can start today. So what will you do today? Tonight. Well, maybe not tonight. What about next Sunday afternoon? You know, all day Sunday is the Lord's Day. You know? Not just the 2 or 3 hours we spend together in the morning. It's all the Lord's Day. You recognize that because you're here in the evening. You recognize that it's all the Lord's, and not everybody recognizes that. But what do we do with that middle time? All right? There isn't always a decent NFL game on, you know? What if we used our Sunday afternoons to store up God's Word in our hearts, to give ourselves? Now, I'm not saying that's the only time, but that's tailor-made, it seems to me, as far as an opportunity. Most people are not working. Don't have usually other responsibilities. Take your nap, maybe make it a little shorter, and then get into God's Word. You know what? You have to find the time for you. But this time next year, will you have begun? This time next month? When will you begin? Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, to delight in your word. Help us, Father, to recognize that time spent with your word is time spent with you, getting to know you, fellowshipping with you, worshiping you, being transformed by your spirit as he uses your word. Father, we pray that we would begin. Help us, Lord, to store up your word. Help us to do battle with sin and to use this wonderful means that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.